thankful to be with you this morning. I am so sorry, just based on what I've heard this morning, I wasn't able to be here yesterday evening for the services. We studied for a sixth grade science test last night, and I hope I pass it today. Sorry that I wasn't able to be here. In 1 John chapter 2, for just a moment, he says we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Now, if I was in a court of law here in the United States and the judge was the father of my attorney, the judge was going to recuse himself because there would be an appearance that that judge could not be just or independent because he has a familial relationship with my attorney. But God is so just. And God is so perfect in the way that he judges, he doesn't have to recuse himself. And I have a friend of the court that's defending me. I'm thankful that at law, if I were to be found guilty, I can't be found guilty because somebody's already paid the price. And in equity, I find that I'm not even guilty because blessed is the Lord, blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. In that court, I look as though I've never committed a sin. I'm so thankful for that. Thankful for the words that have been spoken. Ask that you turn to Matthew chapter 22. Since I didn't get the thing that I was supposed to be speaking on intercession, we'll speak on something else this morning. Matthew 22, verse 23. Lord Jesus Christ is amazing, even more amazing than Brother Don in defending things. I have a hard time following Brother Don sometimes. I always enjoy hearing him talk. But the Lord Jesus Christ is even better than that. And here in Matthew 22, he talks to the Herodians, who were the politicians of that day, and lays their claim against him to rest. Then he turns around and talks to the Sadducees, who were the rationalists of that day. Sometimes I think we're the only ones who have to deal with them, but they were dealing with them that day too. There were still a bunch of heathens that were atheists and still somehow had some understanding of the Word of God, light though it might be, dealt with them. And then he dealt with the scribes, and ultimately the Pharisees weren't even asking him anything unless you wanted to call that lawyer scribe a Pharisee, which you might. They didn't ask him anything, so he asked them one thing, drew them into it, and then put it all to rest. And when he got done with this chapter, they durst ask him any more questions. He's done with it. But I want to focus a little bit on the Sadducees for a moment. The same day came to him the Sadducees, which say that there is no resurrection. Lots of folks like that today. I've known some that were even called Primitive Baptists that didn't believe that. So you don't have to be a Sadducee to believe something that's not true. Saying, Master Moses said, if a man die having no children, his brother shall marry his wife and raise up seed unto his brother. Now there were with us seven brethren, and the first when he had married a wife, deceased, and having no issue, left his wife unto his brother. You know, they're looking at the law. They understand how it works, you know. Likewise, the second also, and the third. Now they're going to carry it to its ultimate conclusion, thinking they're going to force this issue as far as the resurrection is concerned so that it makes no sense. They're rationalists. It makes no sense. Up to the seventh, and the last, all the woman died also. Therefore, in the resurrection, whose wife shall she be of the seven? See where they made their error? They made an assumption, and that was that it's going to be on the other side the same as it is over here, only better. Okay? There are a lot of people living in this world that think they're going to go to heaven when they die, and they probably will. And yet, they think that on the other side it's going to be the same thing as it is here, only better. It's going to be nothing like it is here. About the closest thing maybe it might come to is church service without the preaching, because we're not going to need it over there. We're going to be singing all the time. See, we'll know everything over here. Over there, here we have to be taught.
So it's going to be a little different over there. And they were taking the rationalist approach to it and saying, look, it makes no sense. Okay, whose wife is she going to be? For they all had her. Thinking of it from a sensual standpoint, they all had her. Jesus answered and said to them, you do err, not knowing the Scriptures nor the power of God. You know, that's where everybody errs. Not knowing the Scriptures or the power of God. Now, they studied the Scriptures. They could talk to you about the law. They really had a handle on the Mishnah, the oral law. They could really tell you all about that. But he said, you don't understand the Scriptures. Go back and read what the Scriptures say, or the power of God. Now, the power of God is proclaimed in the Scriptures, but there's also the power of God that we feel and that we have in our heart and that we see displayed in our lives on a daily basis. But he said, you don't understand that. Maybe they're not able to see it. You don't understand that. For in the resurrection, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels of God. I've seen people take that and just go nuts with that. So let's talk a little bit about as the angels of God for a minute. First, he's using a simile here. He uses the word as. And of course, when you're using a simile, you're comparing things that are not alike. Not things that are alike. You're comparing things that are not alike. So the idea that some folks have that somehow we die and we go to heaven and we become angels, it's not even the same creation. Sorry. God created the angels sometime, I guess, between day one and day six. I don't know, because his creation was finished when he got to day six. But he didn't tell us when he created them. So all we can do is speculate. So I'm not going to speculate this morning. And then he created man out of the dust of the earth, different creature altogether. And I'm thankful for that. Because it's going to tell me something else, because angels aren't resurrected, by the way. Okay? Only we are resurrected. Okay? And angels, even though we're made a little lower than the angel, and I'm jumping ahead of that a little bit in Hebrews chapter 4, he's going to crown us with honor and glory. We're going to be the bride of Christ. Okay? So he says they are as the angels of heaven, but only in this respect, and in this respect alone. When we were created in this earth, we were created, one of the purposes was for procreation, so he created us male and female. The angels were not created male and female. We talk about angels as if they are male, but in matter of fact, there is no reason for them to be male or female. Okay, they're angels. They're not creating new angels. Okay, they're not having children. Only we do. So the only thing that he wants to compare here is that when we get to heaven, we're not going to be involved in being fruitful and multiplying and replenishing the earth. In fact, David said that he is going to make his covenant not to grow. He got all there was in the beginning, and he's going to keep this world around till the last heir of promise is born of his spirit, and then he's going to wind it up here, and that's it. There's not going to be any more of them. He makes it not to grow. So there's not going to be any of that. And that's the only thing that we have in common with the angels, other than the fact that God created us both. And I just have a feeling that since he created us and created them, we got to look a little bit like. If you go back and you look in the Jewish tradition, they had all kinds of ideas about angels, none of which is supported by the Bible. I like to watch It's a Wonderful Life. Boy, is that bad preaching or what? You know, all of that stuff in there. The idea that I'm going to become an angel, I got to earn my way, all that kind of stuff. Even the part where Jimmy Stewart says, Lord, I'm not a praying man. It's obvious from the circumstance you've got yourself into. You know, all that kind of stuff. It just gives us an idea of angels and a relationship that the angels have to us, and that somehow we want to accede to become angels. It's just unbelievable. No, the only thing is that he's saying here is that we're not going to be marrying or giving in marriage when we get to heaven. Why? We've got one husband. We're the bride of Christ. So he says, You don't have to bother with that, Sadducees. Don't worry about that. For in the resurrection, they neither married nor are given in marriage, were as the angels of God. But as touching the resurrection of the dead, here is, see, they don't understand the power of God, okay, first. And secondly, as touching the resurrection of the dead, have ye not read that which was spoken unto you by God? Now, it was spoken unto Moses by God, but they said they were Moses' children. And he says, spoken unto you, plural, by God, saying, I am the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. How close do you read your Bible? I confess that many times I don't read my Bible very closely. And I confess many times, instead of quoting scriptures, I quote at them. I'm close, but I just kind of miss it. The Lord Jesus Christ is using one word, and specifically, he is using one word in a particular tense here to prove the resurrection of the dead. The Apostle Paul in Galatians chapter 3 used one letter to show the prophecy of Christ. How closely ought we to be studying the Word of God? And I don't know that there's any little point that I might just slough off and say, you know, I just don't really understand why it's there, and not even go into and check it out a little bit more to see what it might lead me to. I am, not I was, the God of Abraham. Now, God could say that he was the God of Abraham because he was the God of Abraham. While Abraham was living here in this world, corporally, God was the God of Abraham. He could have said that. But his point was to Moses, who had had the greatest education that this world had ever known in Pharaoh's house. God sent him into the master's program over on the backside of the desert for 40 years, tending sheep, so he would know how to lead his people Israel. The things of this world did not help him out, but those sheep, tending those sheep, helped him out in leading Israel out, because they're like us. They were dumb, they were stupid, and they didn't really want to go anywhere much. That's what he learned for 40 years before he went back. He said to him, Moses, I am the God. You think Moses understood that present tense? I believe he did. He said, I am the God of Abraham. I am the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. God is not the God of the dead, but the God of the living. Now, the reason that he says that is because by saying am, it means Abraham's still around, Moses. 300 years after Abraham died, God told Moses, Abraham's still around. I am the God of Abraham. Now, let's go back to the angel thing for a minute. We're going to be resurrected from the dead. The angels are not, because they're not going to die. The elect angels will live with God in heaven, but they've never died. Angels don't have to be redeemed, because they didn't fall. Now, those that fell aren't going to be redeemed. But we're going to be redeemed. We sing a song, "The Cross of Christ Inspires My Heart to Sing Redeeming Praise. Awake my soul and redeeming grace. Awake my soul and bear part in my Redeemer's praise. Oh, who can be compared to him that groaned upon the tree? This is my dear delightful theme, that Jesus died for me." Last verse of that song says, angels in shining order stand around the Savior's throne. They bow with reverence at his feet and make his glories known. Those happy spirits sing his praise to all eternity. But I can sing redeeming grace, for Jesus died for me. Jesus didn't die for the angels. Jesus isn't coming back to resurrect the angels. The angels will live eternally, as we will live eternally, but they'll never be able to sing redeeming grace. So while we are like the angels in that we will not be in marriage or given in marriage, that's about it. All these other things that we have, all these things that we're given, they're for God's children and God's children alone. The angels will never be able to sing redeeming grace. They'll never be the bride at Christ's right hand. Only God's children will be. He used that one word to refute what the Sadducees had to say. They thought they had him all tied up. And Christ said, you know, I put that word there. I said that word to Moses, and I'm going to bring it back, and I'm going to say it to you again. Next time, Sadducees, pay attention to what I'm saying. God help us to rejoice in what he has given us and pay attention to what he says in the Word of God.